With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Citigroup wants in on the action when it comes to digital payments and to make it easier for consumers to move money from point A to point B when paying for goods. We'll have more on that in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Good news for home buyers. Home price growth slowed for the 10th straight month in January. Prices of homes in major metropolitan areas across the nation rose 4.3% in the year ending in January. That's down from 4.6% the prior month. Slower price growth, along with lower mortgage rates and a growing inventory of homes for sale, are all potentially good news for home buyers this spring. Now, alongside that data, construction on new homes, what's known as housing starts, fell almost 9% in February. They're below averages from a year ago, but falling interest rates could spark home buying and in turn more construction. After approaching 5% last month, the average rate for a 30-year mortgage has since fallen to 4.28% as of last week. Meanwhile, consumers might not have as rosy an outlook as those in the housing market. The Conference Board on Tuesday said its index of U.S. consumer confidence declined in March. More specifically, consumers who described business conditions as good fell to 33.4% in March from about 40% in February. But there is a silver lining. Consumers slightly raised their expectations of short-term income prospects, suggesting the tight labor market could lead to higher wages. About 21% said they expected higher incomes. That's just slightly up from 20.6% in February. The era of digital payments and the ability of customers to quickly move money to pay for goods is not in its infancy anymore. It is here to stay, and big banks want a piece of the action. Wall Street Journal reporter Telus Demos is here with some details. So Telus, it's Citigroup that's the latest bank that wants in on this fast-growing area of the banking sector, or as you put it in your story, the hottest area of the banking sector, and that is linking merchants to customers.
That's right. For a long time, it was totally commoditized, the business of essentially accepting credit card payments on behalf of a merchant. It was pretty simple. People wanted to swipe their cards. They'd go to a terminal. They'd walk into the store, go to a terminal, swipe their card. Somebody needed to do all that processing work. Banks had years ago outsourced all that, basically. First, you saw the creation of the networks, Visa and MasterCard, and then you saw these sort of processing businesses that were set up to work with retailers and other merchants in order to get them to accept those. In fact, banks used to own some of those companies. They'd spun them off years ago or in the process of doing so, and because it just wasn't that great of a business. It was all about volume. Each transaction would make fractions of a cent. This just wasn't something where the banks really saw a lot of room for them to add value.
And we can trace this to last year when banks lined up to be a part of the real-time payments network to move money instantly between customer accounts.
Well, that's right. So what's happened in the last over the last few years is that the business has gone from, you know, a pretty basic accepting, you know, card swipes at terminals type thing, which was the vast majority of activity, to this explosion of payment options and types and things like that. I mean, think about all the shopping that you do online. Think about all of the wallet options you have now. Are you using Apple Pay? Are you using PayPal? If you're in another country, are you using Alipay? Are you using Paytm? There are all these new and different ways to pay. Some of them involve credit cards, but in a new way. Some of them involve entirely new types of payments where you're spending money within an ecosystem and merchants are trying to get in on that. Plus, you have just an advent of more online commerce, you see an explosion of fraud, and so now merchants are having all these problems with accepting credit card payments that aren't real. And so you've had all of these new challenges introduced into what was a pretty basic, pretty standard business over the last few years. And so now banks are kind of coming back into that business and finding or searching for lots of different ways to make money within payments again.
And, you know, you mentioned the fraud. With all this convenience and all the different options, there has been fraud that has emerged. And for the banks, is it fair to say they bring a lot of credibility here for the merchants to rely on them to sort of run a clean process here in getting money from point A to point B?
Well, it's not so much about credibility as it's about data. Banks bring a tremendous amount of knowledge about individuals and about transactions from their other businesses that they can then bring to bear in the payments, in the consumer payments realm, right? For example, banks issue credit cards. If banks are both the issuer and then also the acquirer, that is the party that accepts the payment, then they can see both sides of the transaction and essentially be able to say, okay, you know, we know everything about this transaction, so therefore we know that it's genuine. And what merchants are looking to do is find ways to reduce the fraud rate so that they don't end up on the hook for, you know, owing money that they don't have, but also that they don't end up stopping transactions that might otherwise be genuine and creating friction for the customer. So banks bring tons of data, and that's been the rationale behind a lot of recent deals and new ventures in this area.
Does it also help with the speed factor and efficiently getting money from point A to point B?
There are ways that banks think that they could accelerate the speed of payments, right? So, for example, the way that credit cards and debit cards mostly work today, especially credit cards, is that there's an instant transaction where you pay, the merchant is paid, but the actual dollars behind that don't necessarily move right away, right? Like you might see on your credit card statement, pending transaction, right? Or the merchant doesn't actually necessarily get that cash right away. They get paid on some delay. Depends on each merchant and how they're set up. Now there are new technologies that basically make it possible to move money instantly. And so banks are beginning to think about how they can bring some of those tools to bear to kind of actually move those dollars right away rather than having this kind of delayed movement of money that frustrates both consumers and merchants at times. So banks see that as one opportunity for themselves.
And also one of the baseline realities here is the banks are hoping to drum up more business.
Yeah, ultimately the banks see They have clients that they handle a lot of business for, right? A lot of transactions business for in the what they call the B2B or business-to-business realm. That is, I'm making something. I have suppliers that sell me parts. I need to pay them with wires or cross-border transfers. I'm receiving payments from retailers, right? I'm, you know, making widgets. They're being sold through a retailer. How does the retailer pay me? Where do I keep my money? All those things are what banks do for large companies, including a lot of retailers and merchants. And they're looking to extend that relationship now into a new realm. Some banks have already been there for a long time. JP Morgan has had an acquiring and merchant payments business that they've worked with big companies for a while, but they've been introducing all kinds of new ideas into that. For example, Chase Pay, which is a way for Chase not to just to handle the transaction, but actually give the consumer an app that would allow them to pay. Citigroup now. Citigroup has been the dominant player in those kind of business-to-business payments and transactions for many, many years. They do it globally. Now they're saying, okay, we want to be in an additional part of that chain, which is the place in which the merchant touches the consumer. And so they're seeing an opportunity to, again, leverage their sort of global nature to be able to do that for, you know, companies where that are touching consumers in many different parts of the world all at the same time. And banks are also seeing opportunities to take back some territory from some of the technology companies that have emerged over the last few years, like Adyen and Stripe, to help companies do payments more seamlessly, more globally, and things like that. But those technology companies are fierce, and they are well-funded, and they have a lot of resources to continue to innovate. And so banks will have to find ways to keep up with them, either by offering customers a better sort of deal, right? Like, okay, maybe we don't have the best technology in the world, but we can do it for you kind of as a loss leader for other services. Or they can say, you know what, we have so much money, we can actually invest in all the latest and greatest technology as well, and we can offer you something that those technology companies maybe can't, which is like a complete banking relationship. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that landscape evolves over the next few years.
All right, we'll see what the future holds. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Telus Dimos here in our studio. Telus, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.